God's Word comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 15 and then read through the end of this chapter. John 14, beginning at verse 15. What we hear now is God's Word. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you all to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 27 in the back section. Page 27, this is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20. And we looked just this morning at question 53. I'll read the question. You may respond with the answer. Question 53, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? This morning, one of you here will be slain in the Spirit. This morning, one of you here will receive a word of knowledge. This morning, one of you here will experience a miraculous healing. This morning, one of you here will fall down in holy hilarity before the Lord, and we will know that the Spirit of God is present. Now, if you're visiting with us, you're nervous right now. there are churches that begin that way on the Lord's Day. There are churches that highlight the external manifestations of the Holy Spirit and do that as evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence. Well, I can tell you that I don't think that those particular things are going to happen today, being slain in the Spirit or receiving a word of knowledge or a miraculous healing. But I can say, without a doubt, that the Holy Spirit is here. He is here in our midst. How do we know? How does the Holy Spirit manifest Himself? Is it through these marvelous and external things, or is there something else that we should look for when we look for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the people of God? Today is Pentecost Sunday. It is the day that we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. We look at Lord's Day 20 this morning. The Lord's Day entitled, God the Holy Spirit. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? We've been looking at these truths of the Christian faith as given to us in the Apostles' Creed, following the pattern of the Trinity, God the Father and our creation, God the Son and our redemption, and now God the Holy Spirit. And what do we understand by the Holy Spirit? Who is He? What is His work? That is what we're going to talk about this morning. Jesus, in John chapter 14, is preparing to leave His disciples. He is preparing to finish His earthly ministry and take up His heavenly ministry. And as He prepares to go, He tells them, I am going to send you a helper. I am going to send you my Spirit. You will not be alone. I will still be with you. How would they know that the Spirit was present? How do we know that the Spirit was present? I say the Spirit's present here this morning. How do we know that? What do we see? What do we look for? What should we look for to know the Holy Spirit is here? If we had someone who was here this morning from a Pentecostal-style church, would they leave disappointed, feeling that somehow the Spirit hadn't manifest Himself here? What do we look for? Who is the Holy Spirit, and what is His work? Well, the first thing we have to remember is that the Holy Spirit is God and not man. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not of human origin. That is, He's not my conscience. Sometimes we almost refer to the Holy Spirit as if He's our conscience, something of ourselves. He's like Jiminy Cricket, who sits on our shoulder, and He kind of directs where we should go. And we get this feeling inside it. It's my conscience speaking to me. The Holy Spirit is not human. The Holy Spirit is God. True, eternal God. He is not of my making. He is not under my control. Sometimes worship services are structured to try to control the Holy Spirit, or we might say whip up the Holy Spirit. Certain songs are sung and certain lighting effects are done, and all these external things to try to coerce the work of the Holy Spirit. But He is not under our control. He is God. And He does what He pleases. He is, our confession says, as well as the Father and the Son, eternal God. The Holy Spirit is co-equal with God. He is eternal like God is. Now, I often don't think of the Holy Spirit in terms of the power that He has. We think of God, the Father, as powerful. He is the Almighty God, the creator of everything we see around us. The Holy Spirit is just as powerful, co-equal, co-eternal. God is majestic. God is glorious. God is fantastic. God is great. The Holy Spirit is just as glorious and just as majestic. He has the almighty power of God because He is God. He has the majesty of God because He is God. He has the eternality of God because He is God. We are not talking about something of our own creation. We are not talking about our conscience. We're not talking about a little voice inside our head that directs us. We are talking about the eternal God, the third person of the Trinity. And that's the last thing. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. He is not a nebulous power. He is not just sort of an impersonal force. But the Holy Spirit has, if we can put it this way, personality. He is the third person of the Trinity. Jesus, when He's preparing to leave, says to His disciples, verse 16, I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper. He doesn't say, He will send you help. Help is an impersonal type of thing. But He says, I will send a helper. The person of the Trinity. Elsewhere in Acts chapter 5, in the story of Ananias and Sapphira, it is said that they lie to the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't lie to an impersonal force, you lie to a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Powerful, almighty, majestic. Our confession says, first, He as well as the Father and the Son is eternal God. That's who we're talking about this morning. That's what Pentecost celebrates. The outpouring of the person of the Holy Spirit and His work. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? What is He called to do for the people of God? Well, Jesus says in verse 16 again, I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, He says. The world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. And in a nutshell, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He takes the benefits of Christ and applies them to us. Because Christ lives, we also will live. The Holy Spirit takes those benefits that Christ has earned and accomplished and applies them to His people. Now, Christ was the one who accomplished our salvation. Christ was the one who did the work. He was the one who was sent by the Father. We talked about all this in the Apostles' Creed. The one sent by the Father, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, the one who lived that life here on earth, suffered throughout His life, especially at the end. Christ was the one who went to the cross. Christ was crucified, buried for us, raised again to new life. He accomplished perfectly the work of salvation. The Holy Spirit takes that finished, accomplished, completed work of Christ and applies it to the lives of believers. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes all the benefits of Christ and gives them to us. Our confession says, second, He has been given to me personally so that by true faith He makes me share in Christ and all His blessings. The Holy Spirit is the one who is active and powerful in our salvation. He is the one who opens our eyes to the glories of the gospel. He is the one who takes those hearts that are dead and cold in sin and gives them new life. He is powerful. He is majestic. He is creative. And He creates new life in God's people. That's what He does. He makes us share in Christ and all of His blessings.
He takes that completed work of salvation and applies it to the hearts and lives of each one of God's people. Now, how does He do that, children? What does the Holy Spirit use to apply that work? Does He use visions? Does He use revelations? Does He use meditation? Does He use dreams to accomplish His work? That one day or one night we're sleeping and all of a sudden we get this vision and I wake up, oh, I must be a believer now. What is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to do His work? The tool of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, brings these things to our remembrance, enlightens our minds to see them truthfully, and gives us new life. That is His tool. Oh, Hebrews tells us, in former times He spoke through dreams and visions, but now through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now He works through the power of the Word. He takes that Word of God and applies it to our lives. That which was a closed book to us at one point, He opens to us, illuminating us, helping us to see the truth of what God has given to us. He applies the Word in our hearts and in our lives. And that is why in our worship services, children, it is all centered around the Word of God. This is the tool that God uses to bring us to faith. There are, in some churches, a trend to go away from the centrality of the Word of God. And we say, what else could we do to make worship more interesting, more exciting, more interactive? Maybe we could have choral cantatas take place. Maybe we could have drama take place. Maybe we could have more audience participation, more things involving you take place to make it more exciting. But the Holy Spirit doesn't use those tools. Those are not His tools. His tool is the Word of God. And that's why we keep the Word of God central in our worship service. That's what we spend most of the time doing. We spend 20, 25, 30 minutes studying God's Word every worship service. Because that is where He speaks. That is where He is active. That is the tool that He uses to change hearts and lives. The Holy Spirit is present here today because the gospel is present here today. The gospel is being preached here today. The call to faith and repentance. This wonderful work of the Spirit is for the life of the believer. And if you don't know that Jesus Christ, who is applied by the Holy Spirit, today is the day to bow yourself before Him, to ask God to enliven your heart. The Holy Spirit is present and active for the preaching of the gospel. What does He do? He makes us share in Christ and all of His blessings. Our confession says He comforts us. That's the second thing the Holy Spirit does. He comforts us. Jesus was preparing to leave. He'd been with His disciples. He had been teaching them, instructing them. They had lived with Him, lived together, walked together. And now He says, I'm getting ready to go. And they were understandably nervous, afraid about that. Why would He leave us? It seems like things are just going well. He'd only been with them for a short time. Jesus is ending His earthly ministry. But He says to His disciples, don't be afraid. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, and the world will see Me no more, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. Jesus, while in His earthly ministry, as wonderful as that was only at one place at one time. Even in His glorified body, We have no record that he was ever seen in various places at once. Oh, he could go from place to place very quickly, but Jesus was at one place at one time. Jesus sends the Helper. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. And he is present everywhere. That's why we can say without wondering that he is here with us this morning. We don't have to wonder, is the Holy Spirit going to be in our church today or some other church today? Is he going to be in Susanna today, or is he in Pella today, or is he in Linden today, or is he in Escondido today? Where is he today? The Holy Spirit is everywhere present. So he can be in all places at one time. He expands on the ministry of Jesus. Otherwise, we have to wonder, is Jesus going to show up this morning, or will he be down the street today? Will he be in a different town today? No, the Holy Spirit comforts us because he is present right here. We don't have to wonder where he's going to show up. I will be with you. I will be with my people. God is present here in our midst through the power of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us share in Christ and all his blessings. He comforts us. He encourages us. When we are concerned about decisions we have to make, when we are concerned about difficult times in our life, the Holy Spirit is there. He's not off somewhere else. But he lives and dwells with and in his people. He's there to comfort you. He's there to assure you. He's there to uphold and strengthen you. The blessings of having that one who brings comfort to his people. I will give you another helper. And Jesus says, and he will be with you forever. Jesus had been with the disciples for about 3 years or so. And now he says, I'm going. I'm moving on. Well, you can almost hear the question in their minds. Okay, you're going to send the helper. How long is he going to stay? 3 more years? 6 years? 9 years? How long will he be here? Jesus says, I will send another helper, and he will be with you forever. He's not going to leave. He's not going to move on. But he continues. Our confession says, he remains with me forever. Verse 16, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. And going on to 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The Holy Spirit remains. His ministry is not a passing ministry from one place to another. Jesus' ministry went from earth back to heaven. But the Holy Spirit remains to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen, to counsel. Whenever we are worried, whenever we are concerned, whenever we are afraid, he is there to hear. He is there to encourage. He is there to strengthen. Because he dwells within us, Jesus says. He remains with his people. How do we know? What evidence is there of the Spirit's presence? What evidence should we look for the Spirit's presence? Should we look for miraculous signs? Should we look for fantastic healings? Should we look for speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues? Should we look for a word of knowledge? Should we look for holy laughter? What should we look for? What's the evidence? Jesus, in telling his disciples, I'm going to leave and I'm going to send the Spirit, doesn't mention any of those things. He doesn't say, you're going to know because you're going to see these miraculous external manifestations. But the theme that runs through John 14, verse 15 and following, is the theme of love for God. That's how it begins. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This theme of love for God is going to be the evidence of the Spirit's presence. Go on to verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. It is a love for God that is expressed in obedience to his commands. Again, from verse 23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him." The evidence of the presence of the Spirit is not these external manifestations. It is the love of God that dwells within our hearts. A love for God, a love for His Word, a love for His people. A love that manifests itself in external care for others. That's the evidence the Spirit is active and powerful and working. The presence of God's love within our hearts. A love and a desire to serve Him, to know Him more fully, to live for Him every day. Now we know that we'll fall short in that desire. We'll fall short in what we want. But is it even a desire of ours to live for Him? Is it even a desire of ours to keep His commandments? When the Spirit is indwelling the child of God, He does not cleanse him from all sin and make us perfect. But He continues to bring to mind the desire to love God with heart and mind and soul and strength. The desire to hear the Word of God and keep the Word of God. Even on this Lord's Day, God calls us on this Lord's Day to keep His day holy. Will we express that desire in ways that are pleasing to God on this Sunday? He will go with us throughout this coming week, calling us to follow after Him and to serve Him. Will we express that in ways that are pleasing to God and for the benefit of those around us? Will we speak words of love and concern and encouragement to the people of God? Will we as a congregation manifest that love? Wouldn't it be wonderful if when people talked about this congregation, they didn't say, "Oh, that's the one that meets in the corporate center." They didn't say, "Oh, that's the one that meets in the Christian school." They didn't say, "Oh, that's the one that bought the new building." But they said, "That's the one that loves each other and that expresses that love." Wouldn't that be wonderful? To be known as the congregation which loves God above all and which expresses that love to all of those around. The evidence of the Spirit's presence. A love for God expressed in obedience and devotion to God. The Holy Spirit is here. Not the external miraculous signs, but the Holy Spirit is here. He dwells in the midst of His people. It is evidenced by your being here in worship, your devotion to God, your love for Him. It is evidenced by your concern for each other, by the prayers you offer on each other's behalf. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." The Holy Spirit is the one that brings true peace to His people. A peace between God and man because of the work of Jesus Christ applied to us, but a peace among each other as well. A peace in Zion. For we have one focus, one goal, one purpose. To love God above all. To love our neighbor as ourselves. As evidence, the Holy Spirit dwells in the midst of His people. May God bless us with that type of sharing, with that type of devotion, with that type of comfort and encouragement, knowing that He, the Holy Spirit, will remain with His people forever. Let's pray together.
Lord our God, we pray that the word you have given us this morning might be a fruitful word for us, that your Holy Spirit might illumine our minds with this word, that he might guide and direct us into greater paths of righteousness, that he might give us a stronger love for you, O God, and a stronger commitment to walking in your ways, following your commands, keeping your law, showing our love to you and showing our love to each other. Lord God, may it be the case that it is known that this is where the Spirit dwells, that it is evident in the lives of his people. Hear our prayer, O God, for it is offered in Jesus' name. Amen.